The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
One of the guests at a party said to Jesus, "Happy is he who eats bread in the kingdom of God." Jesus responded, "A man was giving a large dinner, and he invited many. At dinner time, he sent his servant to say to those invited, 'Come along, everything is ready now.' But they began to excuse themselves, one and all. The first one said to the servant, 'I have bought some land and must go out and inspect it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going out to test them. Please excuse me.' A third said, 'I am newly married, and so I cannot come.' The servant, returning, repeated all this to his master. The master of the house grew angry at this account. He said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor and crippled, the blind and the lame.' The servant reported after some time, 'Yours have been carried out, my lord, and there is still room.' The master then said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and along the hedgerows and force them to come in. I want my home to be full. But I tell you that not one of those invited will have a morsel of my dinner.' This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ. "Abide in me, and I in you," says the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Abides in me, bears much fruit. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and who loses his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Once a year, 4 days after all the saints of the Catholic Church, the Society of Jesus honors all the saints and blessed of the sons and fathers of St. Ignatius. Their number, we know, over 40 canonized saints and over 100 blessed, and some very recent. Blessed Michael Progan, Mexico, a martyr. Blessed Rupert in Germany under the Nazis, not quite a martyr, but lived a martyr's life. Most recently, canonized saint, Saint Claude, Colombia. Some are youngsters, like Stanislaus, in the novitiate. Never even finished his novitiate. The bugger. He was allowed to pronounce his vows on his deathbed. Some way up in years, like Peter Canisius. What do they have in common? You might say they were all holy men. So they were. But the one thing that characterizes all the saints and blessed of the Society of Jesus was fidelity to the constitutions and rules of the same society. And it's that simple. St. John Berkmans died in his 20s. That, mind you, 300 years ago. Not all his brethren obeyed the rules. He did. He was canonized. In other words, even though the crisis in the church is somewhat different now, or in the Society of Jesus, the common denominator of all the blessed and saints of the Society of Jesus was respect for and obedience to the rule of Saint Ignatius. And within this rule, there are certain outstanding features that no one would be beatified and canonized unless he was faithful to those features. One, humble obedience. Only God knows, only he has to know what obedience to my superiors has cost me over the years. St. Peter Claver, the apostle to the slaves in South America, he was so busy, so outstanding in his work, his fellow Jesuits complained. Stop that zealot. Told by his appearance for several years to cease and desist. He did. Obedience, even though others did not obey. But I would say the single principal feature was the third degree of humility. As some of you know, the third degree of humility means that you don't just practice the first degree, which is avoiding mortal sin, or the second degree, avoiding venial sin, but the third degree, you choose by preference that which is harder, more demanding, more self-sacrificing, even though no sin is involved, just because you want to be more and more like your master, Jesus Christ. There was not one loafer among the blessed and saints of the Society of Jesus. They all labored, they prayed, they suffered, but above all, they loved the cross. And that single sentence summarizes not only the saints and blessed of the Society of Jesus, but anyone who wants to become a saint. And every letter counts in that statement. You love the cross. You love the cross. You love the cross. And it's got to be sincere. Not only do you never run away from the cross, but, and every day for all of us, the option arises of choosing what is the easier way out to that which is more demanding. You choose that which is more demanding. But always, with this I close, always with a view to winning souls. There was a cold pragmatism in the spirituality of St. Ignatius. Our sanctity is not to make us holy, period. Our sanctity is to make us holy so that then we, embracing the cross, might be used by Christ to win souls that are won only by the cross, even as Jesus' death on the cross redeemed the world. So we, and we can use the expression, cooperate with Christ in co-redeeming the world by our love, choice of, preference for, embracing of the cross of Jesus Christ. One more word. And you love it. You love it. Because your faith tells you, I'm becoming more and more like my Master. All you saints and blessed of the Society of Jesus, first of all, pray, oh pray, for us still here on earth. We need a reformation. Obtain for us the courage to follow in your footsteps, because if ever in the 450 plus years of the existence of the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits need saints, it is today. Only saints can convert sinners, and the sinners today are an ocean. Saint Ignatius, Saint Peter Canisius, Saint Peter Claver, Saint John Berkmans, Saint Claude Colombier, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I hope in the Lord. I trust in His Word. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Another time, Jesus said to His disciples, a rich man had a manager who was reported to him for dissipating the property. He summoned him and said, "What is this I hear about you? Give me an account of your service, for it is about to come to an end. The manager thought to himself, "What shall I do? My employer is sure to dismiss me. I cannot dig ditches. I am ashamed to go begging. I have it." Here is what I plan to do so that people will take me into the houses when I am let go. So he called to each of his master's debtors and said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" The man replied, 100 jars of oil. The manager said, "Take your invoice, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he said to a second, "How much do you owe?" The answer came, 100 measures of wine. And the manager said, "Take your invoice and make it 80. The owner then gave his devious employee credit for being enterprising. Why? Because the worldly are of more initiative than the otherworldly, since when it comes to dealing with their own kind, they are more shrewd. This is the gospel of the Lord. If there was ever a time in our nation's history when what we've just read has been verified, it's today. The children of this world are more shrewd than the children of light. And as we know, the people of this world, meaning those whose life begins at conception and ends with the grave, we have no thought of eternity. They will stop at nothing, and the word is nothing, as I've been told by my friends in Washington. Connivance, cruelty, thievery, lying, everything to get what they want, because the very methods they use, like the man of the gospel, are part of their philosophy. We cannot resort to methods of achieving what we call the kingdom of Christ on earth and reaching the kingdom of heaven in the life to come. We cannot resort to worldly means. That's not what Christ was after. It is not that we, like the manager, should go around cheating and lying. But how blind we can be to the existence of not just evil in the abstract, or evil personally in people, but as I've learned over the years, and as long as the Lord keeps me, I will tell people there is organized evil. Evil that in the language of the Gospels, has the devil himself as his leader. Fathers of the Church speak of two mystical bodies, the mystical body of Christ and the mystical body of Satan. And you just don't overcome the empire of the evil spirit. I don't say by natural means. Use supernatural means. If what happens this week does not wake up those who still believe in Christ, then nothing will. The work we have ahead of us is, and this is the safest statement I can make, the most demanding, the most self-sacrificing, the most prayerful, the most expiating, the most demanding in our nation's history. That's one. But secondly, we must work together. We must organize. And from now on, I'm going to be using the word, and we must mobilize. We are at war, and that's no figure of speech. We are at war. This is St. Ignatius, right down the line. In the 16th century, the most massive war of ideas between the followers of Christ and the followers of Satan, for by then 1,500 years of the Church's history. Not just our own country, the 20th century. The most uncompromising war between followers of Christ and the followers of the evil spirit in our 2,000 years of the Church's history. And if ever, as I've been telling people, we are living in the age of martyrs, it is today. We must be willing to lay down our lives, sacrifice everything, and the word is everything, for the souls that otherwise will be lost. Because the devastation that we know in our own country is only the external expression of the more devastating devastation going on in souls. Lord Jesus, today, on the first Friday of the month of November, enlighten our minds to realize what it cost you to save the world. Nothing less than your crucifixion and your heart pierced on Calvary. Give us the grace to suffer with you and like you for the preservation of your kingdom here on earth and for the extension of the kingdom of heaven for which we were made. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. You have the words of everlasting life.
Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, make friends for yourselves through your use of this world's goods, so that when they fail you, a lasting reception will be yours. If you can trust a man in little things, you can also trust him in greater. While anyone unjust in a slight matter is also unjust in greater. If you cannot be trusted with elusive wealth, who will trust you with lasting? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's money, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or will be attentive to the one and despise the other. You cannot give yourself to God and money. The Pharisees, who were avaricious men, heard all this and began to deride him. He said to them, "You justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God reads your hearts. What man thinks important, God holds in contempt." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There are a dozen homilies we could give on the gospel we've just read. Only one, and a short one. God has given us a free will for one purpose, that we might conform our selfish, stubborn self-will to the will of God. That's the only reason, fundamentally, why we have a free will. To free ourselves from self-love and give ourselves to the will of God. Having said that, we ask ourselves, how do we conform our wills to the will of God? Do we get a revelation from heaven? Do we have to go to the Vatican and consult the Pope? Much more simple. Every day and all day, God is manifesting His will to us. He is manifesting His will to us in what we casually call the circumstances of our lives. There are no circumstances in the Webster Dictionary sense. There are only acts of providence. Everything, and the word is everything in our lives, every situation, every person, everything is God manifesting His will. When I came into the chapel here, it was cold. It's God's will that it be cold. So my conscience told me, find out if the heat is on. It wasn't. I turned it on a little bit. Went outside to wait for you people. Came back, was still cold. Turn it out a little more. It was God's will, I thought. Consequently, during our lives, we should be constantly asking ourselves two questions. What does God want me to do? And how have I responded, past tense, to the will of God? And this is not just a pious homily. This is real life. Every day, and more than once a day. St. Ignatius, seven times a day. And he'd organize, told us, his followers, twice a day. And you people, that I'm hoping some little way to help, to train you to do God's will and then win souls for Christ. Examination of conscience. Thank God for the graces He's given you that you've cooperated with. Don't just thank Him for the graces He's given you. That's less than 50%. What have I done about those graces? And over the years I've been telling people there are two kinds of graces, the pleasant and the painful. We hardly even think of cooperating with the pleasant graces. No problem. It's especially the painful ones. Thank God that He gave us graces with which we can cooperate. What does He want me to do? Like now. I think He wants me to continue speaking for a while and then stop. And to have the homily hold together. Then, for the next day, the rest of the day. Anticipate God's will. And we can pretty much know what He will expect of us. And then to plan, prepare, and even brace ourselves to bending with our wills and doing the will of God. Now here's the beauty of it. As Christ explained in the gospel we just read, we seldom speak of God trusting us. The language is a little queer, but the lesson is obvious. The more responsive we are to God's will in little things, we'll leave it to God. He'll give us greater responsibilities, which means more opportunities of surrendering our will to His. But we've got to cooperate in the little things. For example, I wasn't sure whether the outside door was latched or not. I've done this, forgetting myself. Waited, paced up and down for somebody to show up for Mass. Nobody came. I controlled my patience, even said a few aspirations. Then I said to myself, "Harden, is the outside door open?" Sure enough, it was locked. And there they were, standing on the outside, maybe making acts of resignation to God's will for this stupid Father Harden who didn't open the door. It's the little things. They may be little things in our eyes, but they are big in the eyes of God. And here's the main thing I want to share with you. God will give us many, even breathtaking opportunities of not just doing His will and submitting ourselves to Him, but opportunities for bringing souls to Him . Unspeakable opportunities. But there's a condition. We must have been faithful day after day, and only then will the Lord give us those blessed opportunities which He wants us to cooperate with His grace, but remember always to bring souls to Him. The key is to recognize God's will in everything, in everyone, everywhere, every which, every who, every what. In the measure of our fidelity in these, quotes, little things, God will give us the privilege of cooperating with His grace in greater things. And in the years to come, years after the Lord has called me into eternity, I'm hoping that you, being faithful in, shall we still call them, little things, by the 21st century, you will be channels of grace to others, even to the furthest reaches of the globe. I try to reach Moscow this morning. Sister Mella will not be in until 10 o'clock Moscow time. So I told the operator, thank you, I'll call back. That's 3 o'clock. The opportunities are tremendous, but the secret, I repeat, there are no little things in the eyes of God. Lord Jesus, You are constantly telling us how You want us to show our love for You. It's in those little marks of affection towards You that we prove that we are ready to do the greater things that You want us to achieve, and always for the extension of Your kingdom here on earth. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray for a greater devotion to Our Lady throughout the Catholic world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the grace to imitate Our Lady in always, always telling God, let it be done to me according to Your word. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For Your own personal intentions,
that Catholics may not only survive, but defend and propagate the faith during the Clinton regime. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, grant that we ask for in faith we may obtain through the merits of Your Mother, the humble handmaid of the Lord. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.